It's time for Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you have a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome, as we always do on Tuesday morning, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. Cecil on the phone. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning to you.
And Wes, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
And interesting topic. Wes has already given me the advance on today's discussion, estates and divorce. And big one to unpack in 30 minutes. But Cecil, I'll let you do the open.
Well, you know, Mike, we talk so much about, you know, the details. The devil is in the details and how very important it is to seek legal advice. Most particularly when any material thing, significant change in one's life occurs, maybe it's the death of a spouse, the death of a child, and certainly, you know, a separation or divorce. Anything of that nature can very materially affect your estate planning. Wes and I have an interesting file tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. Basically, it is concerning, without violating any client confidence, is basically a factual scenario where a spouse was in the throes of a separation and divorce and had a lawyer, and the spouse had a lawyer, and they were in the middle of it, and they were attempting to resolve it. But, of course, as I think a lot of our listeners know, divorce cases can linger on a bit. And that was the case with this. The property was titled in both names, so that in the state of North Carolina makes this property joint or tenants by entirety. So the spouse dies, of course, before the settlement agreement, separation agreement is signed, before there's any resolution in the court. And, of course, as a result of that, the property would seem to pass directly to the surviving spouse because it was joint. Mm-hmm. Again, there was no divorce decree. That would have changed the circumstances. There was no written separation agreement. That would have changed the circumstances. And so now here we are helping this executor sort through this. That is kind of a very interesting scenario of where separation and divorce can come into play in an estate setting.
Yeah, that is interesting, Cecil, at a local level. And your associate, Andrew Foster, last week told this same audience here about a national story involving Larry King, the late commentator, who was going through divorce with his wife, Sean King. They hadn't settled the divorce, and Larry King, as we all know, died. So we're seeing parallel stories there, one here in a local setting through your office of Harvell and Collins, and one on a national level. So it happens at all levels of society, so to speak. So you see it firsthand here in Carteret County, Wes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Not only the case that we have tomorrow, that Cecil knows more about that case than I do. I don't know a whole lot about the facts, but have a good number of these that I'm dealing with right now, you know, where you have that general type situation where, you know, the parties maybe aren't together, they're separated, but the divorce hasn't taken place yet. And one of the parties, husband or wife, passes away, and the implications of that are pretty significant. And, mm-hmm. and one of the reasons is significant is because we've got kind of several new players in the law with regard to that. When I say new players, I mean the last 10 years or so, that's kind of new to us lawyers because some new statutes mm-hmm. that have been on the books for years are a little different now than they used to be. The elective share statute is different. We've talked about that on the program. The statute with regard to the right to bringing what's called an equitable distribution lawsuit after a death, that's different than what it was years ago. So all of these things matter, and it really comes down to how the marital assets and the assets derived through the marriage are going to be split by the courts, and we have these statutes that really play a big part in that. So kind of, you know, the big picture with regard to that is, of course, most listeners would know that if you just take the death scenario out of it and you end up with husband and wife separated, moving toward a divorce, the term of the procedure or the lawsuit that deals with the division of the assets is equitable distribution. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know that. And that's a process where it's before the district court. It's a non-jury matter. It's a matter where a district court judge is going to hear all the evidence and make a determination as to the distribution. There's a presumption of 50-50 split of marital assets, but that could be different based on the circumstances. A lot of times what you deal with in that as well, dealing with assets, would be alimony. That's kind of off of the topic a little bit today, but in many cases you have equitable distribution and alimony, and that's the lawsuit. Okay, that's in many cases separate from the actual divorce lawsuit. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's that part of it. And then obviously, as we've talked about before, you can't disinherit a spouse. So then you have the elective share. Mm-hmm. In the event that your spouse passes away, depending on how many years you've been married, you have a right for a 6-month period of time from the time that the estate was open to make a claim for elective share. Even if the spouse has said, I hate my spouse, I leave my spouse nothing in the will.
Yeah.
Then you still have a claim for elective share, which if it's 15 years or more being the marriage, then that's 50% of the total net assets. Really strong statute dealing with probate assets and non-probate assets. What I mean by that is it would be real estate, it would be money, it would be stocks, it would be bonds, it would be life insurance proceeds, it would be annuities, it would be things that pass directly under a contract designation. So it really is a very strong statute designed to protect the rights of a spouse. So then kind of what we're up to today is we're molding these two together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we've got under the scenario that we're generally talking about, although there's a lot of different permutations of this, we're talking about, you know, husband and wife, spouses, and moving toward a divorce, not divorced yet, equitable distribution not done yet, or it could be done yet, actually, but moving toward a divorce, and then one of them dies. So that's the scenario. So we're molding those two together.
Yeah.
See, it used to be years ago, the law in North Carolina used to be that if you're proceeding forward with your equitable distribution or you're separated and you haven't filed your equitable distribution upon the death, you can't bring it at that point in time. The rights of the surviving spouse are then solely in the elective share statute or solely under the will, solely under, you kind of shifted from a divorce proceeding to an estate proceeding.
Yeah, sounds like that.
Well, that changed. And now the law on that is that if the husband and wife, if the spouses are living separate and apart, okay, and they're not together anymore, they're separated, well, then the estate of the deceased within 1 year of the date of death can file for equitable distribution. That's a new thing, okay? When I say new, 7-8 years ago, yeah. 9 years ago, something like that, there's a case that came down in North Carolina indicating that was the case. So you kind of have to weigh all of those things. It's almost like, okay, here I am at the mediation table in equitable distribution, and we're about to sign the settlement agreement. How healthy is my spouse? If my spouse is really not doing very well, mm-hmm. you might want to push the pause button if the deal isn't that great, because the deal, you know, might be better if the spouse dies. Isn't that crazy? But still, you know, there's lots of moving parts with regard to this. You really have to be keen to in order to make a wise decision for your client.
And Cecil, you said at the outset in this case that you're talking about and keeping the confidentiality of the parties private, of course, you can't foresee a death, as Wes just alluded to. You can't foresee the death of one of the parties involved here. But when, in this case, that one of the parties has died, what are some of the remedies moving forward to reach a settlement in what began as a separation and a divorce, now that you have, like Wes said, delving into into the estate of the survivor?
Well, it's a as we so many times see, Mike, the executor steps into, you know, the shoes of the decedent and walks and talks like the decedent. This is a good thing to remind our listeners about, because it's this way with everything. Filing the tax returns, settling the tax liens, winding down the corporation, winding down the business, finish paying the mortgage, by the way. I mean, you know, there could be liens and outstanding debts. Well, in this file, the executor steps into the shoes of the spouse and into the middle of their divorce proceeding. Because the two parties in the marriage had not resolved those issues, and there are assets that are separate and distinct from the wife to the husband to the wife, and so this has got to be resolved. And so the executor is the one that steps into the shoes of the decedent and then begins this process. And that's, of course, what an executor does in general in all estates. It's just that this particular executor has her hands full. This is a significant taking on of a duty that is not always typical in an estate, but we do see it. Mm-hmm. What I think is important is that when folks do separate and do begin the process of divorcing, which in the state of North Carolina, you know, Mike, takes a year, mm-hmm. 12 months of separation. And sometimes it can take longer because the parties have a reconciliation, right, or it's not absolutely clear when they physically separated. So, you know, it's not, you know, we are not a jurisdiction for 30 or 60 days like a lot of jurisdictions are. You know, you can get a divorce in Florida after a 30-day separation period. In North Carolina, we are 12 months. Mm-hmm. And what I'm getting at is that our listeners, if you're in the middle of one of those circumstances where that 12 months is ticking, you know, certainly bring up with your lawyer your last will and testament, what happens if something were to happen in the meantime. This particular file that we're going to work on tomorrow, this gentleman had children from a prior marriage, so that makes it even more interesting. You need to talk to your divorce lawyer, is what I'm saying, and have some of these issues reduced to writing, even if it is a limited separation agreement dealing only with that issue, with the issue of the potential of there being a death before there is a divorce decree and before there's a separation agreement. The divorce lawyer might well refer you to an estate lawyer, and that would be just fine, but I would not suggest that you just leave it out there, mm-hmm. Dangling, particularly when there are some considerable assets to be talked about.
That's a good point. A lot of moving parts. It's not as simple as just saying separate and wait 12 months and get the divorce papers. A lot of moving parts that you need legal counsel. We'll take a break on that note. If you want to have a conversation with the folks over at Harvell and Collins, the phone number is 252-726-9050. Or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back and continue our conversation with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. We're talking about estates and divorce. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Joining us on the phone is Cecil Harvell. In studio is Wes Collins. And I was talking with Wes between the break here, Cecil, about the equity of the settlement. If the one spouse dies in the middle of before the divorce is finally settled, and the way in which the law has changed seems to be more fair to the decedent's side of the equation, so to speak.
So Cecil, this is what we were talking about in studio. Uh-huh. So let me set forth this scenario. Maybe you can make some comments on it. But, you know, it used to be years ago that a scenario where, let's say, a husband and wife, two spouses, they had a tenants by entirety home, and they had a joint account, and that's what they had. And both of those assets, of course, for our listeners, pass directly based on the way they're titled to the survivor. So one of the two spouses pass away legally, that then goes, those two assets go directly to the survivor. Well, it used to be that the estate then, meaning the person who died, that person's estate had no right to really do anything about that. So there they are. They've worked their entire lives to accumulate this ownership interest in a house and this account, and it passes to the surviving spouse. They were separated, not together anymore, maybe even a second marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's, mm-hmm. there's kids from a previous marriage. There wasn't anything right. that you can do. Now, the law is that even though those assets pass directly to the survivor, there would be a right within 1 year to bring that claim for equitable distribution, to bring in presumptively one half of the value of those back to the estate side of things to equalize it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's something that wasn't always available, but it is now. So that, to me, as we were talking about here in studio during the commercial, seems to be a much more equitable and fair way to deal with that, as opposed to the surviving spouse and the surviving spouse's side of the family. Like I said, it could be a second marriage. Basically receiving a windfall.
Right. Some other details, Mike, for our listeners just to know is that if you own property, tenants by entirety, you know, property between spouses, and then there is a divorce decree, even though there isn't a separation agreement yet, but there's a decree of divorce, then the tenants by entirety is, in fact, at that time severed. And it is presumed that the property is then 50-50, tenants in common, a 50% interest with one spouse and a 50% interest with the other spouse. Then, of course, the 50% interest would pass to the estate, would not pass just automatically to the surviving spouse. But this is only if there has been a divorce decree. Which, as I've mentioned, takes at least 12 months mm-hmm. in the state of North Carolina. Most folks will move pretty promptly with a divorce decree for this very reason that we're speaking about, as well as, of course, other reasons just to get the legality of the divorce finalized. That does not mean, Mike, that there are not lingering issues concerning other assets and how they would be divided, you know, and what the separation agreement might say. Sometimes it might take years for folks to resolve a property and asset separation agreement after they're divorced. You know, the two do not have to occur at the same time. The divorce can occur within after the 1 year, and then the separation agreement can linger on. If those are the facts of the file, sometimes they're handled at the same time, but many times they're not. But the bottom line here is that this significant turn of events in your life, for the sake of our listeners and their friends and family members who are in a separation, you should consult with an estate lawyer or with your divorce lawyer as to what can be done and what kind of document might be can be generated so as to settle some of these estate issues if something were to happen.
And I'll ask this question to both gentlemen. What is the one or two biggest mistakes people make when they're in that situation, when they see the marriage is on the rocks and they're heading towards separation and ultimately divorce? The case you described at the top of the discussion, Cecil, what are the one or two biggest mistakes people do? Is it procrastination? Is it kind of just taking things for granted? What don't they have in place to make this as smooth as possible?
Well, I think that's a easier thing to deal with, I mean, in the event that there's not a death, because then you're kind of on the same track moving forward. What happens is that in the event that there's a death, my goodness, we've got the railroad track just takes a hard right turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that things that folks do that and biggest mistakes they make would be not thinking about the possibility of the twists and turns of life.
The contingencies.
Right. And when we sit down with a client, and we're doing, whether it's an estate plan or we're talking about these type of issues or whatever it may be, we're assuming that the person or the other person we're dealing with, the other spouse, in the event that there's a separation going on, we're assuming that they are going to die during the procedure. Now, we're assuming that they're not, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making assumptions as to all of these issues.
What ifs?
So as to protect our client. We can't think, well, it'll be okay. You know, that's not going to happen, so we don't have to worry about that. No, the documents that get prepared, the documents that are executed, signed, we're thinking through all of those things. So I think that to conclude that answer to that question is the failure to seek good legal counsel through the process. That's okay. Probably what it is.
I'll take our final break here, and when we come back, Cecil, we'll have your response to that same question or anything you wish to close on this important topic about estates and divorce. If you wish to have that conversation with the law firm of Harvell and Collins, call today, 252-726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com and start there. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal and Cecil. For the remaining time, a couple minutes or so, we'll let you close this conversation.
Are you there, Cecil?
Say that again.
There you are. Cecil, we have about 90 seconds left.
Yeah.
So I'll give you that time to...
I want to say this, Mike. We've kind of thrown an unusual factual circumstance out there, but this is a very common one. We are many times... settling estates consistent with a property and separation agreement. It's not unusual at all for there to have been a divorce, for there to be a written contract separation agreement, and then something happened a year or two later to one of the parties, and there we are handling the estate of the deceased, but yet there were still some details in the separation agreement that didn't quite get worked out. That's a very typical scenario in our office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, though, there's so many moving parts, and they by their very nature, they take a long time to proceed through the courts, and any type of kink in the system is just going to exasperate that time length to get a good settlement. I think the takeaway from all this is work on your marriage, don't go through divorce, but if you have to, call good legal counsel, and you can start by calling Harvell and Collins at 252-726-9050. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mike.